You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, we're so glad you came today. I believe you're going to be blessed. In fact, you're going to love this message. You're going to love this message. Well, a couple of you are. You're going to love this message. You know, y'all can respond anytime. You can help me. You can amen and get involved. You know, I don't believe in the distinction of white church, black church, and so on and so forth. They're just the church. But I just know when I go to churches that are predominantly black, you know, everybody helps me. Seems like when you go to church predominantly white, you're on your own. But no, y'all just help me anytime. It's amazing. You go to some churches, I mean, they'll help you finish the sermon. You finish every sentence with a, come on, preach it, don't hang up now, you know, all those sayings, hallelujah. Y'all remember that time I went out to Brother Hardin's church, House of Prayer Church of God, Pentecost Church of God in Christ? You thought we had a long name. But we went out there one afternoon to celebrate. They were celebrating something, and of course, you know, it's predominantly black people there. We went over there, and I had to train everybody before we left. Remember what we did? I stood here, and I said, now, I'm going to be preaching at this church. Y'all all come, and I want you to sit, half of you on one side, half on the other. And as I'm preaching, when I point this way, I want this side over here to say, praise the Lord. And when I go like this, I want that side to say, amen, I think what it was, or glory to God, something like that. And then I said, now, when I raise my hands up like this, I want everybody to say, hallelujahs. And so I was preaching, and I started doing that. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. And went through the whole sermon, and when it was all over, I had several of those people come to me and said, boy, you white people sure know how to praise God. Little did they know we trained for that. But maybe we ought to do that again. I don't know. But turn with me to Joshua, the first chapter. Now, this is going to start out. You've heard this many times. We've preached on Joshua. In fact, I preached similar to this about a year ago on Joshua's strategy for success, because this really is what God was doing, giving Joshua a battle plan to succeed, to take the land of Canaan, to go in there and take Jericho and Ai and all those cities. Now, although God had promised him all those cities, the children of Israel, and Joshua is the commander-in-chief, and although God has promised us many things, we don't need to misunderstand. You have to stand, you have to fight, you have to win, you have to pray, you have to believe, you have to serve God. The promises of God are all conditional. They all require your faith. They require you to believe. They also require you to do certain things. You know, I think of prosperity. I believe very strongly that God wants to prosper his people. We often quote Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I quote that. I love that scripture. But that's in response to the church at Philippi having given to Paul and his ministry. And he says, you are to be commended for your giving. No church communicated with me concerning giving, receiving, but you only. He said, I don't write these things that I may get more money. He's saying, but I desire for fruit to abound to your account. Basically, he's saying, you have given according to what you could do. Now, my God is going to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that was in response to giving. So if we're going to quote the promise of God supplying our need, we need to be responsible in our giving and our help and our blessing. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. If we want people to love us, we need to be responsible in loving people. You know, I'm amazed at people that say, well, nobody's friendly to me. And they look like, you know, they've been baptized in a barrel of pickle juice. And they expect people to be friendly to them. And they never reach out, they never shake hands, they never smile. You know, you got to be friendly to have people be friendly to you. And so the Word of God is real plain that there are conditions to be met. In other words, if we're going to win, there's things we need to do. We don't just, you know, just believe, just say. We need to say and we need to believe, and that is vital. In fact, I'm going to get into that in a moment. But our lives should line up with our lips. If our lip and our life don't line up, we're living a lie. And sometimes we're living our life so loud, people can't hear what we're saying. So it's understood in Joshua's case, he gave him some basic instruction on winning the battles of life, but he had to get out there and put himself on the line. He had to get out there and fight. He had to get out there and he had to win. I believe if you do the possible, God will do the impossible. Amen? I mean, Jesus told those men to go fill the water pots full of water. Well, they didn't turn the water into wine, but they put the water in the pots. Hello. They did what they could do. They obeyed God. They did the best they could do. You do all you can do. You're faithful in the little, God will put you over the much. You do your part, God will always do His part. And so when Joshua's giving them some instruction, and even in these instructions, although they be spiritual, although they be matters of faith, what he was supposed to believe and say, it was understood that he had to get his body behind it. He had to cross that Jordan. He had to raise up that sword and that shield, and he had to go forward in faith. Amen? You believe God wants to prosper you? You need to go to work. I got a great message for you if you want to prosper. Get a job. And believe God to prosper you. I know if you're retired, I'm not talking to you. I'm just, you know, I mean, you've worked, you've got your retirement, those kinds of things. But I'm saying if you're able, you're young, you want God to bless you, go out there and do what you can do. You believe God to help you find a job. You make a job out of finding a job. You pray and you believe those doors will open. You'll have favor and you'll get that job. And when you get there, you be on time and you do the work you're called and the work that you've hired on to do. Be faithful to keep your word. Be there on time and do a good job. You know what? If you'll do those things, God will prosper you. Because if you're faithful in a little, He'll put you over much. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Okay, Joshua. Y'all found it?
Yes.
First chapter. Here is a strategy for success or a battle plan. We're looking into the war room, as it were. We're looking into the secret meeting of God Almighty and Joshua, who has now become the commander-in-chief. Moses has passed away. Joshua is now the leader, and God is encouraging him. I think it's significant that he starts out and he encourages him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Must have been traumatic. Had to be in his case. This was his mentor, his hero. I mean, Joshua followed him for 40 years and stood behind him, was loyal to him. Great leaders are great followers. And Joshua was a great follower, and he was a loyal follower, and he stood behind Moses, stood with Moses, and he protected Moses, as it were. And he wouldn't side against Moses. I mean, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't hear it. Wouldn't hear of it. He was going forward all the time. He was the one that said, let us go up at once and possess this land. Think about it. We're well able to overcome. Him and Caleb were the two men out of those 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, Numbers 13. There were two out of those 12 princes of Israel that stood their ground and stood their faith and stood behind Moses and what Moses told them and said, we can do this. They are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. If God be for us, He can deliver us and will deliver us from this enemy. And you know what? There were only two out of those 12 that went in 40 years later. But here's Joshua now without his leader, without his hero, without his mentor, and yet God encouraging him, and God saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now listen to this. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Isn't that good news? You know, I love that. I have a hero. I had three guys that I believe mentored me, their teaching, their ministry. And, of course, Brother Osteen, John Osteen, was my pastor for several years and came up here and preached in this building. We built this building. And he's gone on to be with the Lord. And it was a sad day. I remember when he passed away. I know he's in heaven, and I know I'm going to see him again. But you know, when you look up to somebody and you respect someone and you've received so much from someone, my father in the faith, as it were, it has an impact on you emotionally. You know, when they're gone, you're not going to be able to call them again until you see them in heaven. But you know, I'm encouraged by what I heard from him. I'm encouraged by the life he lived. I'm encouraged by the God that was in him. I'm encouraged by the Jesus that changed him. That Jesus never died. And you will never go to Jesus' funeral. And you'll never go to God's funeral. He's not going to die. He's always alive. He's always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So although all of us, one by one, go on to be with the Lord, He stays firm. He stands firm. And He'll never forsake you. Are you with me? Brother Osteen, of course, and Lester Sumrall is another hero of mine. I love Lester Sumrall. Used to listen to him all the time. And, of course, he came to Lakewood quite a bit. He went on to be the Lord. And then Kenneth Hagin. Those three men impacted my life over the years. But, you know, God never died. And really, they never died either. They just left this earth and went to heaven. And it's encouraging, and it always was encouraging, when those events took place, when they did leave this earth and go on, it was always encouraging to me that God never left. And God will never leave you. Hello. And that's what God was telling Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not forsake you nor leave you. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. Why? Because although Moses died, I hadn't. Although Moses has left, I haven't left. And I want to encourage you, God's still with you. Amen? He's still with you. And he'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. Praise God. So he encourages Joshua. And then he gives him a battle plan. He tells him what he wants him to do to go take this land. He says in the sixth verse, "Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Everybody say, be strong.
Be strong.
See, this is paramount. You've got to get a hold of this. Once you make your stand, keep your stand, stay the course, stay at your post, don't give up, don't back up, you hang in there. There's going to be rough days. There's going to be rain. There's going to be wind. There's going to be waves. But when it's all over, you'll still be standing if you're standing on the Word of God. Are you with me? You're not always going to feel like it, but it doesn't matter what you feel like. You're not always going to be motivated. Oh, forget motivation. Throw it out the window. Just do it because it's right. Just do it. Hello? I mean, I hear people use that excuse. Well, I just don't have any motivation. But it's not motivation, it's choices. You make choices to do the right thing. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. But you get up, and you do it anyway. Are you with me? Sometimes you feel like a spiritual dynamo. Sometimes you don't feel like a spiritual dynamo. But you still serve God, you still stand for Jesus, you still believe God, and you keep doing the things that are right. Are you with me? And God won't forsake you. And when it's all over, you win. You got to be strong, see? That word strong there in the Hebrew is the word kazak. And it literally means to harden, to take hold of, to be constant, to continue, to prevail, to withstand. Ooh, hallelujah. Y'all missed a good time to say, don't hang up now. Preach it, brother. See, when he says be strong, he's saying you take hold of this now. And I think when he says harden, he's talking about harden yourself to difficulty or to sin. You know, when you harden yourself to something, you're unaffected by something. In a negative sense, someone who is a hard person is someone who is unaffected by others' pain, others' weakness, or others' sorrow. You know, we use that in a negative sense. We'll say, oh, that's a hard man. And what we mean is that nothing pierces their heart. They're just completely unaffected. All this sorrow and pain going on, and they're not even reaching out. They're not even doing anything. What a hard person. They're completely unmoved and unaffected. And that's a negative sense. That's a bad sense of being hard. But I tell you, there's a good sense of being hard, and that is being hard to sin and hard to temptation. That's enduring hardness as a good soldier, like Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 chapter. So when you think about it, you can get hardened to adversity, to where it does not affect you. Oh, it comes. You're never going to stop adversity from coming. But you can stop the outcome of it being negative. You can change the result of it. You can't change things that happen to you, but you can change the outcome of what happens to you. Are you with me? I can harden myself to adversity. I can be strong when temptation comes, not give in to it, but harden myself to it. So that's a good sense of the word harden. So he says, be strong and of a good courage. In other words, take hold of it. Be constant, continue, prevail, and withstand. Kazak, that's that Hebrew word, kazak. And he repeats that. That's the same word used over there in the seventh verse and also in the ninth verse. The seventh verse, he says, only be strong. Everybody say only. That word means limitation. It means merely, it means nothing but. I like that. Merely be strong. Just stand there. Stay the course. Keep doing it. But I don't feel like, well, do it anyway. Well, it doesn't look like anything. Well, it will happen because God said so. Amen?
That's right.
Well, I just don't think I'm like some. Well, thank God you're not like somebody else, but you can still stand there.
Right.
It doesn't mean you feel strong. It doesn't mean you even are thinking all your thoughts are strong. It just means you made a stand and you're going to keep doing it. Your lips may quiver, your knees may knock, but the best thing to do when your knees knock is to kneel on them.
Yeah.
Amen. And the best thing to do when your lips are quivering is quiver out the word.
Yeah.
Just stutter it out if you have to. It doesn't matter. God doesn't say, well, if you're eloquent enough, it'll work. If you say it succinctly, if you say it accurately, and if you don't stutter, I may show up and help you. No, he doesn't say that. He just said, you say it. You say it, you do it, God will come through. Amen. Now, we make a lot of the outside, but God just makes much of the inside. We look at the outward appearance. We look at the person that looks good and sounds good. And, you know, no. God just looks at the heart. And if you'll stand there and do the best you can do and just don't give up, God's going to come through. He always will. Amen. And that's the plan. Be strong. Only be strong. Only be strong and of a good courage. I'm reminded of Mark 5:36. Y'all remember where Jesus, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, Mark 5th chapter, came to Jesus, fell at his feet, besought him and said, "My daughter lieth at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her and she shall be healed." Y'all remember that? Okay, well, if you don't, you can look it up. But it's in Mark 5th chapter. But anyway, Jesus immediately went with him. And on his way, there's a woman came up behind him and grabbed a hold of his garment. And this woman had had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible says that she had been to many physicians and was none the better, but rather grew worse. Thank God for doctors, but sometimes doctors can't help. We're for doctors. We're for medicine. We're for hospitals. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Come on, we're not against that. We're for that. But you know, you and I both know they can't always help us. And by the way, if you're going to a doctor and you're taking medicine, you're having surgery and you're going to hospital, by all means, let's pray that God will bless that, that God will use that, that God will bless those doctors and so on. But in this case, she'd been to many, spent all that she had, was none the better, rather grew worse. She heard of Jesus. She came in the press. She grabbed his garment, the Bible says, and virtue and power came out of him and healed her. The Bible tells us she said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." She made that stand. Well, anyway, all this is going on while Jesus is with Jairus going to his house. And as a result of it, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" You remember the story. The disciple said, "Lord, who touched you?" You say, "Who touched you?" And the multitude throngs you. Yeah, but somebody touched him in faith. And God always has time for the person who believes. Always. And so the woman, fearing and trembling, the Bible says, fell down, told him all that happened. And he said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole thy plague." When all this is going on, I mean, Jesus was in the healing business. I mean, that's what my Bible says. He was in the miracle business, the healing business, the need-meeting business. He has Jairus here. They're still on their way. And certain people come from Jairus' house and says, "Don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead." Not the best news. Are you with me? But Jesus said in the 36th verse of that 5th chapter, and that's what I wanted to bring out here, he turned to Jairus. It says, when Jesus heard these words, he turned to Jairus and he says, "Fear not, only believe." Everybody say, "Only believe."
Only.
That's significant because that's really our part to play. You do your part, God do his part. Amen? Now, God's telling Joshua, he says, "Only be strong." Jesus was telling Jairus, "Only believe." Sometimes we think there's got to be more steps to this thing. There really aren't. You just need to get in faith, God will do the rest. Sometimes we make it complicated. God just wants to make it simple. It's really pretty simple. You get in faith. You believe God. You trust God. God will get you out of this. You may be thinking, well, there's only two or three ways this can happen. Now, see, that's where you're wrong. God's got a million ways you never thought of. If you'll just trust God, let him figure out how. You just believe. That's all you have to do. You don't have to tell God how to do it. You just believe God to do it. Woo! That's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. I came all the way from Australia to tell you that. Joshua 1. So he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Well, he's saying stay focused. Yes. Amen? Don't turn away. Stay focused on what God says. Stay focused on the fact that God loves you. He's for you. He cannot lie. He's given you a promise. You stood on his word. Now just keep standing. It'll come to pass. Don't get off track. Don't get off focus. You know, I read not too long ago, very recently, I thought this was pretty good about lion tamers. I think I might have shared this before I went to Australia. But, you know, lion tamers, they go into a lion cage with three things. They have a pistol, they have a whip, and then they have that stool, you know, with the legs. And what they say, that the best tool they have is the stool, not the pistol or the whip. You know, I'm from Texas. I'd say the pistol would be the thing. I'd say bring a shotgun. But anyway, they say actually the stool is the greatest weapon they have. That this is the last resort is the pistol and the whip. See, I'd shoot the lion first. That's what I do. If I don't tame a lion, I don't know what will. But anyway, these guys, they'll go in there and they'll have that whip and they have that pistol and they have that stool, and what they'll do, they'll stick that stool in the face of that lion, those four legs in his face, and the lion cannot focus because it's trying to take in all those four legs. It won't focus in on one. It tries to focus in all four. And what winds up happening, the lion just gets docile and tame, just sits down because it cannot focus. Think about that. I believe what the devil is always trying to do is just get us to lose our focus. Get us off focus. Off what? Off the word. Off what God said. That's why God's telling Joshua, you don't turn from this to the left hand nor to the right. You stay focused here. Don't lose your focus. And if you'll stay the course, if you'll keep your focus, you'll win this thing. Because what you need is just stand on the word of God. And just keep standing on the word of God and keep doing what God says to do. You do all you can do, yes. But what you can't do, God will do the rest. Are you with me? Okay. So he says this. He says, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God wants to prosper your endeavors. He wants you to be a success in your endeavors. Don't kid yourself. Don't buy the lie that for some reason God wants you poor. God wants you to have a good marriage, not a bad one. God wants you to have a good business, not a bad one. God wants you to have a good church, not a bad church. Come on, you go through all this thing. God wants to bless you. But obviously there's some things we need to do. God is against greed. He's not against you having substance. Listen, God made everything. Are you kidding? And if you think he's got a problem with substance, then you hadn't taken a look at where he lives. Go read Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. It's lavish. It's exorbitant. I mean, we're talking it's not just streets of gold. We're talking the whole city's gold. The gates are of pearl. The walls are of all kinds of different gems and jasper and amethyst, diamonds, all these different gems. It is an amazing place. But see, the thing is, God made all that. I mean, the devil didn't make gold and silver. I'll tell you what the devil came up with. Well, he was the first one to do it. He came up with things like pride and lust and greed. That's what God's against. It's not money that God's against. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. He didn't say money. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. See, if your heart's right, goodness gracious, you can have all the money in the world, as long as it doesn't have you. I mean, what could a church do if they had more money? A church with a good heart would take that money and reach people for Jesus. Build buildings to house people. Reach missionaries and support missionaries. We would turn gold into souls. We would have prosperity with a purpose. Hallelujah. And see, that's really what God wants. The devil's lied to us and tried to keep us poor. What God's always been against was greed, not money. Hello. Misuse and abuse, not true biblical prosperity. So here he's telling Joshua he wants him to succeed and prosper. And if he keeps his heart right and stays in the word, he will. Isn't that right? Isn't that what it said? Okay. So he goes on and says this. And here's the point I really want to get to. Aren't you glad I finally got to the point? Some preachers never have one. And I hear some preachers and I wonder what was the point. I didn't get it. But I really have a point here. The eighth verse says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Everybody say from your mouth. Yeah. Now, what he's saying is here, you need the word in your mouth. You need to be saying the word. You need to be praying the word. You need to be confessing the word over your family, your marriage, your business, your life, your ministry, your church, and so on and so forth. You don't need to be talking the world's talk about your kids and about your marriage. You know, and you know these kids nowadays, I'll tell you what, they're just going to the dogs. No, don't say that. Don't you pray over your children. You know, we've always prayed over our children. We've always believed our children are going to serve God and everybody they hook up with. All the days of their life, they're going to serve the Lord. We've had our challenges, but you know what? We never backed off what we're praying and believing. That's right. Acts 16:31 says that God will make a way for you and your whole household to be saved. Right. I've stood on that. We've stood on that. We've said that over our children. And we've seen it come to pass. Now, we've had challenges. You're going to have challenges. But you know what? You don't give up. You don't quit. You raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When they grow old, they will not depart from it. That's a promise from God. Now, what you've got to do is get that in your mouth. Well, these kids nowadays. Well, no, I don't care about nowadays. I don't care about all those statistics and I don't care about all those sayings. What I am very much concerned about is what God says. And what God says is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. So this is not outdated, outmoded. We're not dinosaurs concerning this thing. We're current, we're up to date, and we're future. Hallelujah. Amen. We're with it. Amen? Because we're with the Word. But you've got to keep it in your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it. Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
That is an awesome, awesome word in the Hebrew. The word meditate is haggah. Everybody say haggah.
Haggah.
I see you thought you were clearing your throat, but you're speaking Hebrew. You probably said that word many times and didn't know it. Hello. But haggah, translated meditate, is really translated speak in many cases and utter in many cases and say in many cases. In fact, it's translated meditate, it's translated imagine, it's translated speak, utter, say, but it's translated speak, utter, and say more than it is translated meditate and imagine. And I really believe in this case that it should have been translated speak in this verse. I'm not trying to change the Bible, stay with me. In fact, it's still a biblical principle to think on, to meditate on the Word. But in the Hebrew, this word means more than to just think on. It means to also say and to speak. And in context with this scripture, that's really what he is saying. He's saying this book shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt speak it day and night. The word actually, haggah, means to utter, to moan, to growl, to speak, to say, to meditate, to imagine. And in many cases, as I said in the Old Testament, more so than imagine and meditate, it's translated speak or to say. That is in the context of what he's saying here. That if you're going to win the battles of life, if you're going to attain the promises that God has given you, if you're going to walk in the promised land, the land of Canaan that God has for you, your family, your business, your church, whatever the case, then you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to say the word. Are you with me? All the time. These be in your mouth, never depart from your mouth. You need to say what God says over your marriage. You need to pray over your wife and your husband. You need to pray over your children. You need to say over your children, over your wife, and over your business that you're prosperous, that you've got a great marriage, you've got a great wife, you've got a great husband. Hello. Start praying. Start pointing out good instead of bad. Start lifting instead of tearing down. Quit picking out all the faults and just nag, 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 nag all the time. Are you with me? Hello. Start looking for good and saying the good and praying the good. And he says this, thou shalt meditate in it day and night, or say it, haggah, day and night. In fact, hold your place there. Turn with me to Psalms 37. Hold Joshua 1. Psalm 37. Y'all getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Man, it's so good to be back in Wills Point, Texas. Where I can say y'all and reckon and everything. Without everybody going, huh, what, huh? Okay, Psalms 37, verse 3. No, that's not where I want to go to. Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Everybody say, speaks wisdom. Okay, that word speak there is haggah. Same word translated meditate over in Joshua 1:8. Now, obviously here, you know it has to be speak. I mean, because it says the mouth. The mouth doesn't think. The mouth doesn't meditate. The mouth speaks wisdom. So here he's saying very plainly, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. That's that same Hebrew word. And he goes on and says, and his tongue talks of justice. The context is very plain. Speaking, talking, tongue, mouth. Y'all see that? Just like Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it or speak it day and night. Now, let's bear in mind also the context of this scripture. 31st verse. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. He'll prosper. He'll make it. He'll go over. He won't go under. He won't trip. He won't stumble because he's speaking the word. Right? So he's succeeding. He's prospering because of the mouth being full of the word of God. Just like Joshua, in a great sense of battle, in a great sense of enemies and opposition, he's going to win his battles as he gets the word of God in his mouth. He's going to prosper because he gets the word of God in his mouth. Here, same thing in Psalms. Psalms 37, 31, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Let's go on. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. There's opposition. There's a battle. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. In the battles of life, with all opposed to you, with many coming against you, if you'll keep the word of God in your mouth, you will win and they will lose. And God will come through for you and God will defend you. Are you with me? How do you win? What's the strategy? What's the way to succeed in life? How do you win the battles of life? Get the Word of God in your mouth. Pray it, say it over your children, over your business, over your marriage, and so on and so forth. You will win, and God will defend you. Now notice this also, still in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Here again, same principle. He's still the same word, Haggai. He says in the 24th verse of the 71st Psalm, "My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long." Everybody say talk. Okay, that's the same word, Haggai, talk. And there again, the tongue talking. "My tongue shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt." There's a battle going on. There's people wanting his hurt, seeking his hurt. They did not succeed. He prospered because the word of God was in his mouth. So in the battles of life, what's the plan? What's the strategy? What's the plan for success? Well, it is God's word in your mouth. It's Haggai. Amen. What people are saying things about, people are trying to come against me here. These things are not seemingly working out. Well, you keep the word in your mouth and you'll win. Everybody goes through battles, whether they're small, whether they're great, whether they're big, it doesn't matter. The plan's still the same. You stand there, you be bold, you be courageous, and you get the word of God inside your mouth, and God will defend you, and he'll rise up, and you'll win. Turn to Isaiah 59. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to let you out here in plenty of time. It's Mother's Day, and I don't want a bunch of mothers mad at me. I'll let you out by 12. I think it's Terry Myers that said 12 happens twice a day. No. Y'all stay with me. Isaiah 59. Now, this is a great chapter as far as the instruction we get from it. It's a sad state that Israel's in this chapter. But the answer to the state that they're in is real plain. God gives us insight how to get out of the mess we're in this chapter. We often quote that first verse, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot say, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear." We often quote that, and rightly so. It's a good promise that God's ear is not deaf, his arm's not short. Hallelujah. That he cannot save and he cannot hear. God hears us when we pray. And God can reach out and he can save us with his mighty arm. Amen? But now, he actually was saying this in a negative sense. He was saying, he hadn't changed, but you have. Amen. Talking to Israel. Are you with me? Are you out there? So he wasn't commending them in this chapter. He was rebuking them for their lack of faith and their unwillingness to believe and trust him and stand on his word. He hadn't changed. His arm wasn't short. His ear wasn't deaf, but they changed. Notice what it says in the second verse. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." God didn't separate himself. They separated themselves from him. See, it's not that God leaves us when we sin. We leave God. We have found the enemy, and he is us. Hello. In many cases, that is the case. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." His face is still there, but it's hidden from you. You can't see it, because sin separates that. So that he will not hear, "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers have with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies." See the part of the tongue, the mouth in this? "Your tongue has muttered perversity." You know, we're going to have to get a hold of our confessions. We're going to have to get a hold of our tongue. We're going to have to get a hold of what we're saying about ourselves and our children, our wives, our marriage, husbands, church, business, and so on and so forth. We are literally killing ourselves with our tongue. And we're tying the hands of God because we're not in faith like we should be. Are you with me? And we can turn that thing around. We can turn it around. We can start trusting God. New concept. We can believe God. Are you with me? Start trusting God. Start standing on his word. And you know what we're doing? Actually, we're cooperating with God. We're getting in line with his strategy for success. This is how God succeeds, or how you succeed with God in your life. This is what God told Joshua. This is what God was saying in Psalms 37, Psalm 71, here again in Isaiah 59. Notice in the 13th verse, 59th chapter. "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Everybody say uttering. Haggai. Now this was uttering This is Haggadah negative sense. This was not saying the word. This is saying the opposite of the word. And the result of it was the opposite of what God promised Joshua. The result of the opposite of the word in your mouth would be failure and going under and departing from God. So he says, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart, Haggadah, from the heart, words of falsehood. Justice is turned back. Why? Because of what's in our mouth. And righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Wow. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Why did truth fall in the street? Why did justice depart? Because we didn't say the word. They didn't say the word. Because they said the opposite of what God said. Because perverseness was in their lips, and lies were in their lips. And I'll tell you, a lot of what happens to us is, I know it's the devil. I know we have an enemy, adversary, the devil. But we are cooperating with the devil. We're actually siding up with him, saying what he says. And in so doing, we're failing, and we're not prospering, and we're going under. And God's saying, look, if you get my word back in your mouth, you stand back up on your feet, and you believe me, and I'll show up, and you'll win. You meditate, you Haggadah, you speak the word. And then you'll make your prosperous, then you'll have good success. Now he sums it up and he tells them how to get out of this mess. In fact, he says a redeemer will come. Salvation will come, redemption will come, victory will come. 20th verse, the redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. And as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, your children, descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, descendants, your seed, or your grandchildren. Says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. How do we correct the situation? Get God's word back in our mouth. What is the deal? What is the contract? What is the covenant? How does God work? My word in your mouth. That's how it works. Are you with me? You get my word in your mouth, we get to working again. Hallelujah. God's ready to work. He's ready to move. His arm's not short. His ear's not deaf. But we have separated ourselves from him. See? Now we can close the gap again, and we can get back in touch again, and we can get God working again if we'll start saying his word. Turn over to Joshua 1, we'll close this out. I'm about to preach myself happy. I might start doing the moonwalk. You know, hey. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, that makes me want to do some moves. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm feeling better now. 8th verse. Oh, don't hang up now. Don't hang up now. Okay. Let's wrap this up before I just embarrass myself totally, okay? 8th verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt Haggadah, speak it, utter it, say it day and night. That's what he's saying. That's the context of this. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written there. Do you know if you just say the word, you'll start doing it? A lot of times we can't do it because we won't say it. Oh, I can't do that. Well, that's your problem right there. You got to quit saying that. It's just so hard to serve God. No, it's not. No. It's hard to serve the devil. Listen, I've been lost, and it's a lot harder serving the devil than it is serving God. Now, I understand I have to make some stands. I understand I stand alone in many cases. I understand I have opposition. But you know what? The Lord stands with me. And when I was serving the devil, the Lord didn't stand with me. Hello. And the devil is a hard taskmaster. The Bible says the commands of God are not grievous. They're not hard. They're not overbearing. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. And my burden is light. Now, you got to be a man or a woman to stand up, sure. But if you'll do it, if you'll make that step, God will meet you there. And he'll strengthen you. And this road, you get stronger on this road. The more you serve God, the stronger you get, see. The more you serve the devil, the weaker you get. Okay, let me wrap this up. He says, if you'll do this, you keep the word in your mouth and you speak it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. You will. God said it. It's his word. Amen. Have not I commanded you, 9th verse, be strong. That's Kazakh. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. I love it said this way. If God be for you, who cares who's against you? Amen.